Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining us here today on this Sunday afternoon. I'm broadcasting here right outside of Orlando, Florida. I am a traditionally trained naturopath. As you know, if you listen often, I have a practice and a ministry based in Orlando, Florida. And as I always say that, I approach natural medicine from a Christian perspective. Many people are interested in natural and alternative therapies in our times, and I hope to be able with this show to help educate you in that direction. As we say, the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. Now, every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m., I hope that you would join me here to discuss these insights into both natural and alternative therapies. I assure you that you will enjoy this show. Sometimes we're interesting, sometimes we're informative, and we just like to make sure that you, as I said last week, remember to follow me on Facebook. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. I probably should have said that instead of following me, you can friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. And on Twitter, you can follow me, twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. You can listen to the show here live, and you can listen to some archive episodes at BlueZoneWellness.org. Also at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. That's Phase, P-H-A-S-E, the number 3, ministries, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S, .com/WordPress. You can also listen, as you may be listening now, on blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. Again, thank you for joining me this afternoon. We have a very, very interesting show for you today, and we're going to follow our That's the same process that we always follow. We'll start off with the Week in Natural News Review, where we look at some of the articles that have come out this week that are directly or indirectly tied to natural medicine and alternative medicine and alternative healing. And then we'll move on to our – well, let me pause and just tell you what we have here. We're going to talk about – the first article is from Reuters News Service, and we're going to discuss and analyze how this article, which was entitled "Millions of Americans Have Uncontrolled Blood Pressure," and a report, "Millions of Americans Have Uncontrolled Blood Pressure," and this we know to be true. Then we're going to move on to a article that came out this past week. We're going to discuss and analyze this article that was from ABCNews.com, entitled "Mammograms May Actually Boost Breast Cancer Risk for Some Women." Mammograms may actually boost the breast cancer risk for some women. And then our last article that we'll discuss in our Week in Natural News Review comes from naturalnews.com, and it is entitled "Lifelong Vegans Show No Sign of Anticipated Deficiencies." Again, that is "Lifelong Vegans Show No Sign of Anticipated Deficiencies." You listen to Blue Zone Wellness here this afternoon, and we'll be right back after this brief message. And we're going to get right into this first part, the weekend review. And we also have a very interesting show for you. The remainder of the show after that, we're going to go into our healing food segment. We're going to talk some more about some of the benefits of some of the vegetables in our healing food segment. We'll look at some of the other properties and some of the healing properties of some of the vegetables that I'm sure many of you eat and love or enjoy. And then we're going to continue in our final segment today, talking about some of the amazing and extraordinary benefits of the herb turmeric. We started talking about that last week, but we didn't get finished, and I promised that we would talk about it this week. And we'll talk about the amounts to use and what to use it for. We'll be right back to start the show after these brief messages.
Would you love to eat healthier if you could eat food that was delicious? Well, now you can at Tropical Refresh Restaurant right here in Orlando. Imagine eating amazingly delicious food that is not making you a heart attack victim waiting to happen. Choose from mouth-watering veggie burgers, veggie chicken, veggie chunks and beans, etc. And don't forget our amazingly delicious non-dairy ice cream. Choose from flavors like grape nut, pina colada, strawberry, and more. Enjoy a real meal without guilt. Call now, 407-310-8023 or toll free, 855-543-3243. That's 407-310-8023 or toll free, 855-543-3243. And experience Tropical Refresh Restaurant, where there's a delight in every bite as you experience a taste of the tropics.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back to Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening again on this Sunday afternoon. At least here in America, it's Sunday afternoon at 4:07. I know those who may be listening in other parts of the world have different times. Nevertheless, thank you for joining us. We're going to go ahead and jump right into talking about analyzing our first article. And it was taken from Reuters earlier this week, and it was entitled, "Millions of Americans Have Uncontrolled Blood Pressure," and it's a report. And the article points out there about almost half of about 67 million Americans with high blood pressure are not effectively treating their condition, and they face a high risk of a heart attack or a stroke, according to U.S. health officials. The article went on to point out about 36 million people, they say, have uncontrolled high blood pressure, and a condition caused when too much force is exerted by blood as it is pumped through the body and moves against vessel walls, according to a report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released this past Tuesday. The article cites Thomas Frieden, the director of the CDC, and he says, quote, "The bottom line is most of those in this country who have high blood pressure don't have their numbers under control, and because of that, we have a very high burden of disease." Now, let me pause here in this discussion and analysis and say first and foremost that we have to stop when we're talking about high blood pressure or any disease for that matter, and we have to pause and ask the question, why do I have hypertension, or why is my blood pressure high? And this is the question that must be asked, or one of the questions that must be asked whenever you're dealing with a disease such as high blood pressure or any disease. Now, the article goes on to point out, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we discuss this article, and I would highly encourage my listeners to, if you go into the archives, the Blue Zone Wellness Archives, I have a live presentation where I talked about how to control high blood pressure, hypertension. And I think it was entitled Hypertension, The Silent Killer. But you can go into the live presentation that we did at least a year and a half ago now. But yet it's still relevant. And if you go through and listen to some of the scientific evidence that I present in terms of why many of the remedies are more efficacious than the drug medication, and some of the best ways to bring down your blood pressure and to bring it down quickly if you have hypertension or have friends who have hypertension, or loved ones. But to continue with the analysis and discussion of this particular article that was published last Tuesday on Reuters, the article goes on to point out that high blood pressure, of course, is a risk factor for heart disease as well as strokes, and it contributes to nearly 1,000 deaths a day and $131 billion in annual direct health care costs, according to Frieden, the director of the CDC. Now, that is incredible. 1,000 people a day die as a result of high blood pressure. And it costs the American healthcare system directly. This doesn't even consider the indirect cost, but it's a direct healthcare cost of $131 billion annually. So our health is not only is it a health issue, but it's also a wealth or a financial issue. If you go on, the article went on to point out further that the condition is the second most serious public health issue. Cigarette smoking is the leading cause of preventable death in the country, according to the CDC, the article says. And again, Frieden, the head of the CDC, says that patients with high blood pressure are either not receiving a correct combination or a dosage of medication or are not keeping up with their medication. And the article goes on to say that some doctors are not warning patients who have had multiple readings of high blood pressure. High blood pressure, a problem, Frieden said, could be solved by better systems to track patients. So here we basically, the article is trying to point out why are giving some of the reasons that millions of Americans, roughly about 36 million of them, have uncontrolled blood pressure. And they're talking about that they're incorrect combinations of dosage of medication, etc. Finally, the article says of the 36 million Americans with uncontrolled hypertension, about 14 million were not aware of their condition, and about 22 million either chose not to take medication or were on inadequate treatment, according to the report which surveyed adults between 2003 and 2010. Now, it's been my experience that one of the reasons that many people with hypertension or even other diseases, one of the reasons that they stopped taking their hypertension medication, their blood pressure medication, which I never advocate or suggest in my practice to someone just stop taking any drug. One of the reasons is many times the body has acclimated to the drug, and to just stop it abruptly that way could cause more problems than good. Nevertheless, many times people have an issue because they're having side effects that they don't appreciate. And many people would tell me whatever medication they're taking, and sometimes it's not hypertension, but many different types of medication, that the medication is making them feel sick or they feel much better when they're not taking it, even though the medication may be doing its job. But that's the thing about drug medication. There's always a trade-off. Drugs do not cure disease. This is what you have to understand. And because drugs do not cure disease, they're there to deal with the symptoms. You have to deal with the underlying cause. So if you have hypertension, it's not the drugs are not going to bring your hypertension down in terms of it being a cure. It may bring it down for a while as long as you keep taking it by abnormally causing the kidneys to kick off water and salt in general if it's a diuretic. But in general, that's not dealing with the underlying cause, which is primarily dietary, lack of exercise, stress, especially stress, which is probably the single, maybe outside of diet. Stress and diet are two biggies. And so if you have hypertension, you really, really need to be careful about this, and you really, really need to get on a good program. This is why I suggest, again, that you go into the archives on Blue Zone Wellness here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Blue Zone Wellness. Go into the archives and scroll down and find the live presentation that I did on hypertension. Listen to it, take notes, and follow it, implement it for you or your loved ones if you do indeed have hypertension or high blood pressure. This article went on to point out that Friedman, the head of the CDC, says, I think, and I'm quoting him, quote, I think there's clearly a lot of room for improvement. And he was noting that controlling blood pressure often means taking multiple medications daily for the rest of one's life. Now, this is not a good option. As a naturopathic doctor, when I think of this is not a good option. And this is one of the issues to where you, as a listener or a person who is responsible chiefly for your health, making a decision whether to make lifestyle changes, in some cases radical lifestyle changes, the way that you eat, the way that your lifestyle, if you have stresses, unnecessary stressors, the way that you deal with stress, whether or not you exercise, just a whole number of things. You're going to have to make a decision. I remember doing a seminar, and I was talking about how to reverse diabetes naturally. And as I was talking about it, the changes in diet and lifestyle and eating habits, someone asked me, they said, are you saying that we're going to have to eat like this for the rest of our lives if we are diabetic or if we don't want to have diabetes, et cetera? And I said, well, no, you don't have to, but you're going to have to make a choice. You can either choose to eat healthy for the rest of your life or choose to stay on medication, be it diabetic medication, be it hypertension medication or some other medication, thyroid medication, for the rest of your life. So you can choose to stay on the right medication, or you can choose a natural medication, or you can choose to have a healthy lifestyle and to follow the natural way and to have a good lifestyle and take care of your health and manage your stress. Or you can choose to take the medication for the rest of your life. Either way, either one is a life sentence. So I would much rather form the habit of eating healthy, et cetera, as opposed to feeling bad and still having to do something for the rest of my life. So, but we can see clearly here that the mindset here for, at least from the head of the CDC, it doesn't appear that that natural medicine has even come up, or alternative therapies have even come up in this, at least not directly. But Friedman is saying nothing, noting that controlling the blood pressure often means taking multiple medications daily for the rest of one's life, and that is controlling it. The reason you have to take them for the rest of your life is because they're not curing it. And if it was a cure, you could take it for a while and not have to worry about it again. But the fact of the matter is you're simply managing or controlling it. We want to overcome it. We want to reverse it. The article went on to say further, and near the end it says, high blood pressure, and I'm quoting, can be prevented through diet, exercise, and taking drugs such as beta blockers and ACE inhibitors, which widen arteries. The article went on to say that lowering blood pressure can cut the risk of stroke, heart failure, and other conditions, and that risk factors include obesity, a sedentary lifestyle, smoking, and chronic difficulties such as diabetes, kidney disease, and high cholesterol. Now let's stop and look at that for a minute. If the risk factors include obesity, a sedentary lifestyle, smoking cigarettes, and chronic difficulties such as diabetes, kidney disease, and high cholesterol, it would stand to reason that if you're obese, getting out, getting exercise, changing your diet, and bringing your weight down, it would stand to reason that you would lessen the likelihood that you will have a heart attack or have any type of cardiovascular event. Secondarily, if another risk factor is a sedentary lifestyle, then it means you need to get up and get moving. And if you're a smoker, it means you need to stop smoking. And if your lifestyle has created a situation where you have diabetes or kidney disease or high cholesterol, which at least two of the three of those, maybe all three, but it's specifically two of them are directly related to your eating habits, diabetes and your high cholesterol. So the great majority of those, 99% of those that risk factors that were listed, can actually be dealt with by us, by the consumer, by those of us who we should take personal responsibility for our health. Again, that article was entitled Millions of Americans Have Uncontrolled Blood Pressure, and it was in Reuters News Online, Reuters.com. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are in our first segment, our Week in Natural News Review, where we take articles that came out during the week and we discuss and analyze them. Now we're going to move on to our next article, which is entitled Mammograms May Boost Breast Cancer Risk for Some Women. And this was taken from abcnews.com. It was published on the 7th of September, the 7th. It was a couple of days ago. And this is something that we in the natural health field has been going back and have known for a while. And although the article points out that mammograms may boost the breast cancer risk for some women, there's much evidence that mammograms increase the risk for all women, maybe just more for some than for others. Now, this particular article started out by saying women with BRCA mutations are more susceptible to radiation, study says. Now, before we go into that further, we first got to, for my listeners, we have to first decide or point out what are BRCA mutations. According to the National Cancer Institute, BRCA and BRCA2 are human genes that belong to a class of genes known as tumor suppressors, and that the mutation of these genes has been linked to hereditary breast and ovarian cancer. And according to these studies, according to the National Cancer Institute, BRCA1 and BRCA2 are human genes that belong to a class of genes known as tumor suppressors. And in normal cells, BRCA1 and BRCA2 help ensure the stability of the cell's genetic material, or the DNA, and they also help prevent uncontrolled cell growth. Mutation of these genes has been linked to the development or hereditary breast and ovarian cancer. And so the names, according again to the National Cancer Institute, the names BRCA1 and BRCA2 stand for breast cancer susceptibility gene 1 and breast cancer susceptibility gene 2, respectively. So now when we understand what these genes are for and what they mean, let me give you a little bit more information, though, just for clarity. And this is according to the National Cancer Institute. And according to them, a woman's risk of developing breast cancer and or ovarian cancer is greatly increased if she inherits a deleterious or harmful BRCA1 or BRCA2 mutation. They also point out that men with these mutations also have an increased risk of breast cancer, and that both men and women who have harmful BRCA1 or BRCA2 mutations may be at increased risk of other cancers. So according to this article, now that we have a backdrop or a background understanding of the BRCA genes, now we can look at this article from that perspective or mutations in these genes, rather. According to the article, young women at high familial risk for breast cancer may see an even greater risk from diagnostic scans that expose them to chest radiation, including mammograms, according to this article and according to a study that just came out recently. The article went on to point out that any diagnostic use of radiation before the age of 30, according to this study, found that it increased the breast cancer risk by 90% for carriers of BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutations, according to a retrospective analysis of three nationwide cohorts in Europe, by Flora Evan Leeuwen of the Netherlands Cancer Institute in Amsterdam and colleagues, the article says, I'm quoting here. The article went on to say that a history of mammography before age 30 also tended to raise the risk by 43%, a finding that persisted with adjustment for family history as an indication, although without statistical significance, the group reported online. And the article was on to say if all carriers had one mammogram before age 30, the number developing breast cancer by age 40 would rise from 9 to 14 out of every 100. The results, according to the study, support the use of non-ionizing radiation imaging techniques such as MRI for surveillance in the young with BRCA1 or 2 mutations, they wrote. The article went on to say that these breast cancer risk-associated mutations impair the body's ability to fix double-strand breaks in DNA caused by ionizing radiation. In short, if women who have and men who may also already have a genetic predisposition to or genetic weakness to developing this cancer, when they're exposed to radiation or that's used in the mammograms and other types of radiation at those high levels, it greatly, greatly increases the likelihood that they will develop cancer, especially if they are under 30 and have a history of doing these tests. Now, you've heard me mention here before on Blue Zone Wellness, if you are a regular listener, that one of the things that's becoming popular in natural medicine, it's been around for a while, but it's becoming more and more popular, is thermography machine, where infrared light is used. And what it does is it takes an image, and the image appears similar to those images that you see when you're weatherman, and where they're showing where the different colors on the screen show the intensity of the storm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Where this infrared technology is also used by many naturopaths, et cetera, and as they sit back and as they look, and once the picture is taken or the image is taken, And when these colors show up in the on the image in certain areas of the body, the red will indicate inflammation. It has the screen will have different colors. And so the screen, once the picture, once the photo is taken and the image is put upon the computer screen, it's a diagnostic tool, if you will, to see whether or not there are early areas of inflammation in the body. And if there are early areas of inflammation in the body, even 5 or 10 years before cancer, for instance, will actually develop in that breast, those hot spots will actually show up beforehand. And then the practitioner can actually recommend what things can be done naturally to help bring down that inflammation in the body. That's one of the things that we're going to finish talking about today in our herbal supplement segment, where we talked about how to bring down inflammation in the body. Inflammation in the body is usually a marker for a lots of diseases, cancer being one of them. And so when we're looking at the study that has come out talking about how mammograms actually may boost breast cancer risk for women and men, but specifically for women who are actually carriers of that BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene mutation. That's simply a way to say that you have a genetic predisposition to developing breast cancer. And so, again, I would highly suggest if you're a woman and you're getting these if you've been getting these mammograms yearly on a pretty consistent basis and you're under the age of 30, your breast cancer risk is 90%. And that is way, way too high it's too close for comfort, too high for comfort. Now they're recommending in this article, they're recommending, and of course you have to consider they're looking at it from a traditional medicine standpoint. They're recommending imaging techniques such as MRI, etc. Like I said before, in natural medicine, we have the thermography machine. This article went on to point out, again, this article was from abcnews.com. It was from September the 7th. It was entitled, "Mammograms May Boost Breast Cancer Risk for Some Women." The article went on to point out that breast cancer risk rose with the cumulative dose of radiation for a significant 3.84-fold elevated risk in women with a dose over 0.0174 GY. And basically what that says in layman's terms, essentially, is that the more radiation that those with this gene is exposed to, then the more likelihood that you are to develop cancer. So now we need to go on to our third article here. And this article is from naturalnews.com. And it was entitled, "Lifelong Vegan Show No Sign of Anticipated Deficiencies." Now, here on Blue Zone Wellness, myself and when Dr. Morgan joins me, if you're a listener here, you know that we actually encourage, and for reasons, we encourage a plant-based, what's known as a vegan diet. And the reason that we encourage this, not only for scientific reasons, but we encourage it because of what we've seen in our practice. And we've seen that people who consume animal products, be it chicken, be it fish, be it dairy products, cheese, cow's milk, we've seen that these people are not as healthy as those who do not. We've seen that they have a lot more diseases than those that do not. We've seen that they have that when they have a disease, that it is, unless they are willing to give up these articles of food of foods, that it is very, very difficult, if not impossible, to rid them of whatever the disease or abnormality that they may be suffering from. So basically, we know from experience, we know from science, from hands-on experience, not theory, that this diet is the best. It's the original diet given by the Creator. It's a diet that you've heard me say before, eating in line with the rainbow. And so, you know, many people, even doctors and whatnot, they say, well, you know, you can't be a vegan or plant-based diet. Where are you going to get your nutrients, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And we said this time and time again, if you eat the animal to get the animal had to eat the plant to get the nutrients. So you're getting the nutrients secondhand. So to make the argument that where you're getting your nutrients if you're not eating meat is really not a good argument to make. And I'll leave it at that. But according to naturalnews.com, this article by Ra Michelle, and this was published on September the 8th, and again, it was entitled Lifelong Vegan Show No Sign of Anticipated Deficiencies. An article starts off by saying a study of the bone health of long-term vegan women showed density that surprised many Western physicians. Comparing the bones of over 200 vegan and non-vegan women, researchers were caught off guard by the finding that almost identical density levels existed despite the vegan women's intake of substantially lower amounts of calcium and protein. So we hear that, well, you need to eat, where do you get your protein? And where do you get your calcium? If you don't drink milk, where do you get your calcium? If you don't eat meat, where do you get your protein? And you've heard me say here before, most people eat far too much protein, which causes a deficiency in calcium. And most of the calcium that people consume is not even absorbable. And so, because the calcium is not absorbable, it's inorganic. And not only is it inorganic, because it's not absorbable, being inorganic, it causes it to be acid. And so that's not working. And this is why you have older women dying. And they say, well, they didn't not dying, but being diagnosed with osteoporosis and a number of other diseases because they actually lack calcium, even though they may be drinking plenty of milk. The article went on to point out that there's a lot of concern about the ability of a vegetarian and vegan diets being able to meet the required nutritional intake, particularly with regard to nutrients that are in the greatest abundance in animal products. And as the article rightly pointed out, some of their main concerns are about the amount of dietary calcium, vitamin B12, and iron. And there's also a lesser concern about amounts of dietary protein, but even Western medicine has now, according to this article, reluctantly acknowledged that protein from non-animal sources is abundantly available from nuts, legumes, and other sources. So here we have it. We have they admitted it kicking and fighting and screaming, but the fact of the matter is there are abundant amounts of protein contained in non-animal sources of food. The article went on also to point out that the implications of these deficiencies aren't immediately apparent, and because supposedly that when we're not eating a diet with meat in it, and the deficiency not showing up right away. Apparently, this idea is that they're not immediately apparent yet, but they will be. And the article goes on to point out that it is true that many vegans and vegetarians are at risk for anemia, but this may be a problem with cultural adaptation rather than lack of alternative bioavailable food sources, and that is very true as well. Because if you think about it, if even a person who does not eat flesh, if they have a general or dairy product, if they have a general unhealthy diet, for instance, if they eat large amounts of processed sugar. The sugar leaches out other vitamins and minerals as well as the person who may eat flesh, and you can get the same problem. So it's not so much the vegan or the plant based diet that's causing the problems, but the overall diet of eating an unbalanced diet. And again, according to this article, it says that this study that's referred to. Examine the diets of Buddhist nuns who are required to follow a strict vegan diet. And it went on to say that people typically join the faith very early in their lives, usually in early adolescence. The women studied had been lifelong vegans. The women had far lower protein and calcium intake than the non-vegetarian group, and in many cases, less than half the amount. And the article goes on to say that this suggests that the source of the nutrients also impact this absorption and that Western diets may recommend higher levels because of absorption interference. And that's what I said earlier. If you're not eating the right kinds of calcium or protein or whatnot, you're going to have problems with absorption. And no matter how healthy of a diet you eat or you may imagine that you're eating, if you're not absorbing the nutrients from that diet, then the diet, those nutrients are not getting into your system. And you're going to have deficiencies. So, again, as we've talked about that before, there are studies out there. You don't hear much about them. And when you hear this idea about you can't get all of the nutrients that you need in a plant-based diet, I'm here to tell you that you can. It's a matter of eating a balanced diet. And also, as I said on here before, as well as Dr. Morgan when he joins me, that of a plant-based diet is in line with the original diet, and you will be far better off. If you eat and follow a plant-based diet, you'll be far healthier. The evidence is clear. Vegetarians, vegans are healthier. They tend to live longer. than those who consume flesh and flesh byproducts. And as I said before, you're actually, by eating these things, especially if you eat them in abundance, you're basically creating an internal environment in your body that disease can develop, proliferate, and eventually, if not dealt with, kill you. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness on bluezonewellness.org, or you may be listening on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for listening. We'll be back after this to go into our second segment, where we'll look at our healing foods. Thank you for listening again to Blue Zone Wellness.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net, and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on bluezonewellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, and we are going into our second segment on Blue Zone Wellness. And this is a segment that we deal with a healing food or healing foods. And today what we're going to do, we're going to look at about maybe four or five, maybe eight, seven or eight, between five and eight, and we'll be brief on each one. Some of the benefits of some vegetables, and maybe one fruit, or maybe two fruit, and just look at some benefits of some of the benefits that you can get from eating or juicing some of these foods. And some of these we've hit upon in the past, but we go over from time to time because it's, you know, new people listen, or you might have missed a show or something. But these are just some of the benefits from some of the foods that you can get when you consume them. For instance, if you eat celery can function as a diuretic, which is it increases your urine production. It aids your kidney function and also reduces edema, which is a swelling. Many times you see edema in the swelling of people's ankles who have kidney issues. And so celery is a diuretic to help with that. It's a diuretic because the diuretics help pass water out of the body, excess water. Other diuretic foods that are similar in their work are eggplant, melons, watermelons, leeks, and even asparagus. Asparagus can also be used to help with brain tumors, but that's a little bit heavy for this particular segment. That is something we can do later on in a show when we're dealing with some disease and to show how asparagus, when it's prepared in a certain way, can be used to help shrink brain tumors. Another fruit that's very good for you and some of the benefits of it is cranberry. Cranberry actually can counter the effect of cystitis and other urinary infections without activating bacterial resistance. So here you have a food that the Creator has given us, and again, these foods are in line with the rainbow. You've heard me say, eat in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, and you'll be fine if the majority of your diet consists of the colors of the rainbow. So here we have. We're talking about eating or drinking the juice of cranberries. And when I say drinking the juice of cranberries, it's not enough to go to Walmart or to Publix or to the grocery store and buy the cranberry juice and expect to get the same amount of benefit you would get if you went and you got the cranberries yourself and you juiced them, or if you went to the health food store and you purchased true, pure cranberry juice. Yeah, the one that you find in the grocery store is made palatable by adding sugar. But by adding sugar and by some of the other processes that it has to go through, it destroys a lot of the healing properties. Wherein, if you juice it, or if you eat them primarily juicing, or if you get it from the health food store in an organic fashion and a pure fashion, and it's very, very bitter, but it's very, very beneficial for you. Next, we also talk about hepatic tonic, hepatic dealings with the liver/gallbladder. One of the foods that's very beneficial for that is artichoke. Artichoke actually increases the bile flow, and it also actually detoxifies your liver. We've talked about on here before how many different thousands of processes that your liver has, and it's the literal factory of the body. So one of the things that you can do to help your liver health to increase your bile flow and also to detoxify your liver is to consume artichokes. Now we've talked about, again, these artichokes are green, celery is green, cranberries are basically reddish/purplish. So we can see, therefore, the benefits of these foods and how of these foods that are in line with the colors of the rainbow. Also, next we'll look at coconut. And coconut is considered somewhat of a mineral restorer because it's very rich in some what we call your buffering minerals, i.e. Magnesium, calcium, and phosphorus. So by eating coconut, you've heard many times, if you're a lot into natural medicine, you may have heard about the benefits of coconut oil. There are many, many benefits of coconut oil. And we'll talk about also some other mineral restorers along with coconut are almonds. We've talked about almonds, alfalfa. We've talked about alfalfa, cabbage, oranges, as well as turnip greens. These are some of the foods that actually help restore your minerals. Now, when you're talking about your minerals here with magnesium and calcium, you've heard me talk before if you listen to the show often that These are your buffering minerals, and these buffering minerals are very important in terms of keeping your pH in balance. And we talked about before, if your internal pH lingers too long in the area of being acid, then eventually you will develop a disease. And so you want to have your pH at a balanced level, 7.35 to 7.45 for your blood pH. And again, there's the blood pH, there's the urine pH, and there is the saliva pH. But whichever pH we're looking at, You want to make sure that you're a little bit more alkaline than you are acid, because an acid system is a system that cancer, a system that diabetes and other diseases, even the common cold and the flu, all of these diseases, when you're acid, viruses and bacteria can actively proliferate within. Now, also, we'll look at another one. We've talked about this in the past, the benefit of eating pineapple. And pineapple, we've talked about in a previous show, how pineapple has actually been used in the past to help reverse stomach cancer. It's high in digestive enzymes like bromelain and some of the other enzymes that pineapple has. Also, other foods that are good for digestion are papaya, zucchini, okra, potatoes. These are some of the foods that are beneficial for your digestion. Finally, we've talked about broccoli before. And broccoli is also, as we mentioned before, is very, very beneficial to help stave off cancer. And it is actually, it's a phytochemical, or rather the phytochemicals in broccoli retard or help stop the growth of cancerous cells. So anytime someone is getting cancer or they have been diagnosed with cancer, and if they're deciding to go the alternative or natural way, one of the things that must comprise of their juicing protocol, it must be comprised of broccoli. And so also another thing that a lot of cancer clinics will use when they're treating with cancer from a natural perspective as carrots, because of their high content of beta carotene. And they also have to be anti-carcinogenic. Now, those are just some of the foods. We'll look at one more food. This is the segment during this show where we deal with a healing food. The first segment we dealt with the Weekend Natural News Review, where we read a few articles and analyzed those articles that came out during the week. And the second segment, we look at foods every week, or a particular food, or maybe a series of foods like what we're doing this week. And we look at some of the benefits that we get from eating these foods. And as I said earlier, when we look at these foods and we look at if we were eating in harmony with the rainbow, the colors of the rainbow, and this is in line with the Creator's diet. And when we go back to the Creator's diet, we talked about this before in Genesis. And if you look at the rainbow, if you eat this, those seven colors of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, and the closest that if the majority of your diet is in line with the colors of the rainbow, you would typically be healthy. If the majority of your diet is not in line with the colors of the rainbow, then you can be pretty sure that you're creating an internal environment wherein you're being led from alkaline to acid, and you will eventually get sick, which is not a place that you want to be in. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. We're going to go into our last segment here, and in this last segment, we're going to look at turmeric. Now, we started turmeric last week, and we didn't get finished, and turmeric is one of the most beneficial and excellent remedies or herbs or foods even that you can consume. And so when you're looking at inflammation in the body, as I said earlier, inflammation is a marker in the body for many, many diseases. And so what do I mean when I say it's a marker for many, many diseases? What I mean by that is whenever there's inflammation in the body, that's a sign that the body is in a weakened state. And it's a sign also that it's already in an acid state. And so this inflammation sets the stage or is an indication that your body is ripe to develop diabetes or to develop cancer or lupus or some disease. And so you want to try and keep that inflammation down out of the body. And one of the best things for inflammation anywhere in the body is the nutrient turmeric. Now, last week we talked about how turmeric is beneficial how it's actually it's an anti-inflammatory herb, and it's actually used or comes from what we call Ayurvedic medicine, which is from India. It's the India's form of natural medicine. It's a very old form of medicine, similar to, it's even older than the Chinese form of medicine, of natural medicine. Its principal component, that is turmeric, I mean, the principal component of turmeric is curcumin. So sometimes in the store you will see turmeric, and then sometimes you will see curcumin. And basically the curcumin is the extract, or what they thought to be at least one of the compounds that they've been able to designate as the active compound in making it so effective against inflammation. And in herbology, you hear herbalists go back and forth about, is it better to use extracts or is it better to use the whole herb? I think it's better to use the whole herb in most cases. I'm not opposed to using extract in some cases. When I say the extract, if you see curcumin in the store, it may say 450 milligrams of curcumin, or it may say 600 milligrams of curcumin. That means it's been extracted out of turmeric in most cases. So the problem with the extracts that a lot of herbalists have an issue with is that the creator has already put other constituents within the whole herb that our science may not have even been able to identify yet, which may actually enhance the properties of the herb. Not only may it enhance the properties of it, but we believe also you will find buffers that the creator has put in these herbs. So this is one of the reasons you don't get all of the side effects from herbs that you get from drugs, because the creators already have built-in buffers into these herbs. So again, though, in most cases, it's better to use the whole herb, but it's not always necessary. Sometimes when you need a standardized, what they call a standardized extract, I would recommend using a standardized amount so you can be sure that you're getting the same amount. But typically speaking, it's better to use. I agree with this, with the mindset that you should use the whole herb more often than using extracts or extract of the herb, rather, not an extract per se. Because when we talked about extracts on here before, you can make an herbal extract, for instance, by taking the whole herb and using glycerin or alcohol to be able to extract the properties of it out. That's a little different than extracting a particular component. So when you hear me talking about using extract, I'm not talking about using an extract in terms of not using an herbal extract or herbal tincture that you may purchase at the store. I'm talking about buying a herb or an extract of turmeric or whatever. Again, like I said earlier, I'm not saying that these things are not beneficial. But in most cases, it's better to use the whole herb as opposed to using an extract. And even then, sometimes it's better in limited cases to use that extract sometimes because of this has been standardized to get a certain amount. Now, as I said last week, curcumin is actually, it fights viral infection, it fights cancer, and it's also a very, very potent antioxidant. And I won't go over all the things that we talked about, what they could do last week. But I just a quick summary. We talked about how beneficial it is for arthritis, eczema, endometriosis, for pain, and for tendonitis. I've actually recommended it in many cases when there's inflammation or when there's pain, and sometimes in combination with some other things. Also, it's beneficial. We talked about last week for atherosclerosis. We talked about it being beneficial for bursitis and carpal tunnel syndrome. I'll go and also cancer, and where I think we stopped on cancer. I think we did go through cancer to some degree, and I just want to hit this again. Curcumin actually causes the death of cancer cells that actually arrive from several different types of tissue. In fact, in some of the laboratory studies, this compound, curcumin, actually kills cultures of the human leukemia cells. So they've actually been able to demonstrate that curcumin actually in the laboratory actually kills. Now, leukemia is a blood cancer. So they've been able to demonstrate that it can actually kill in the laboratory leukemia cells. It also affects skin cancers by counteracting the carcinogenic effects of ultraviolet light. And I would recommend or suggest if you're taking, if you want to take a preventative, probably maybe 1,500 milligrams a day. or either just get the herbs in, or either purchase the herbs loose and capsule them, or buy them already capsuled from your healthcare practitioner. And take if you're taking a standardized, you take about 1,500 milligrams a day. If you're taking just the herbs that are not standardized, just the whole herb, you may want to take 5 capsules 3 times a day. And I think that would give you probably a pretty sufficient amount to help as a tonic, if you will, or preventative, to try and keep the inflammation down. The other things can help keep inflammation down: exercising, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, clinical testings have also shown that curcumin also increases survival rates in melanoma. And I think we mentioned that last week, because it inhibits the spread of melanoma to the lungs. And it also, by curtailing the activity of platelet activating factor, which is necessary for the formation of new blood vessels that tumors need to grow, curcumin can actually keep tumors from spreading throughout the body. So it actually has the ability to curtail the platelet, or the activity of the platelet activating factor called PAF. So it's amazing what the Creator has given us in this lowly herb, or turmeric, or curcumin, which is the active ingredient, the main active ingredient that our science has been able to determine so far. Now, some other things that curcumin can do: it can also aid in recovery from cancer. And the way that it does this is that it stimulates the cells of the immune system. It stimulates the production of your B cells, which are usually depleted in people with chronic leukemia. So here we have a herb that can actually stimulate the body in such a way, stimulate your immune system in such a way that it actually helps produce your B cells, which with people who have blood cancer, leukemia, actually are depleted. And here a lowly herb can actually cause this, your white blood cells of your immune system, your B cells, to be replicated or to cause a boost in it. And again, people who have people who are depleted in these blood cells, who have depleted source of these blood cells, will tend to have chronic leukemia, multiple myeloma, and even ovarian cancer. And so, this is, as I'm looking at my time, I'm almost out of time here. I have about 3 minutes. And so one or two more other benefits of curcumin, and we guess we have to finish it. Go ahead and cut back on the time next week on maybe one of the other segments so we can finish it up, because there's still quite a bit more that it can do. It actually also stimulates the production of T cells, which are depleted in Hodgkin's disease. And I've had a young lady, I can remember some years ago, who had non-lymphoma Hodgkin's disease, a 4-stage cancer. And she had gone all over the world, not all over the world, but she'd gone to the National Institutes of Health, and they had given her all of these high-end drugs and experimental drugs. And when I got to her and I checked her pH, and she was so acid. And so our first step was to try and bring her system out of an acid level to a alkaline level, which is something they were apparently not looking at. And she was only 19 years old with 4-stage cancer, and she's basically, last I checked, she was doing okay. And I see you, Taffy. That do I have a book that covers this information? No, I don't. I see that you're mentioning it on the chat. I don't have a book that covers this information, but who knows? Maybe I'll get an opportunity to do one in the near future. And that's one of the reasons that I do the show, to try and share some of this information as much as we can. And trust me, this is what I've been able to share here is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more information to share. I'd just like to remind you that you would join me every Sunday here from 4 to 5 p.m. As I said before, we're looking at adding maybe a couple of other shows during the week. We're not sure yet. Looking at maybe adding a show on Wednesday. I'm not sure. We're just looking at adding a couple of other shows, maybe a Sunday and Wednesday, to see what it looks like. But we thank you for listening. We are about out of time. Join us next week at the same time from 4 to 5 p.m. Be sure, if you weren't able to listen at the beginning of this broadcast, the replay should be up here probably in the next 15 to 20 minutes. You can go back and listen to the entire show, download it, share it with people, others, This information is invaluable. It can actually save you a lot of money. Have a good day. Thanks for listening, and be blessed.